As day two of the Mining Expo 2022 edition is about to come to a close by wrapping up later today at 6 o'clock, Eagle FM once again visited one of the other stakeholders in the mining industry, especially NIMT, which is the Namibia Institute for Mining and Technology, as well as also the Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA, in terms of getting their perspectives with regard to the importance for both of these two institutions in the mining industry. With NIMT itself, we spoke to the current principal, Mr. Groenewald, who indicates the importance of the artisanal skill levels or professionals who are trained in the various artisan skill sets that are affiliated either to the mining industry and also to various other industrial complexes, stresses the importance for this specific skill set, as well as also industry, to still be supported by Namibians at large, as well as not just small stakeholders, but also the families, the parents, and also the students that wish to aim to achieve a specific goal in a one or other field of discipline. On the other hand, with NAMRA's representatives at the Mining Expo indicated the importance of a revenue agency, as well as also the revenue collection component within that segment. For more, let's have a listen to these two discussions.
Good morning, I'm Ishmael Groenewald, Principal Job Attachment, NIMT Arandas Campus. The main aim of NIMT in the 1980s was, when Rossing discovered a shortage of artisans in general in Namibia, they started with a campus, and then they started in 1980 with a campus in Rossing, Arandas, and then they shifted out of the mine area and they established it, and currently we are 32 years old. We cater for engineering artisans as well as civil artisans. There's around 11 trades that we cater for. It's a 4-year course. We prefer maths and science for trainees who are interested in that trade. And then level 1, level 2 normally do a 6-month course at the college, 6 months on job attachment, level 3, 6 months also in the institution, and then after 6 months they go for a year for job attachment, and after the year they come back and then they do their trade test and then they become fully fledged artisans, as qualified artisans as from that is tested by NTA.
Mr. Groenewald, and if we just have to look at the role of artisans and the skill of artisans for Namibia, because a lot of people have been asking about manufacturing, just of what you observe, the important role that artisans play in the whole economic sphere, what can you add on to that?
Yeah, what I want to add is that if we look at artisans, let's take Germany for instance. Germany, their economy rolls around the training of artisans, and in Namibia we also discovered that we need to give training that is accredited worldwide, not only local, but also it is a trade that is in demand. And from our side, most of our trainees that we train, they are involved with the mines, with the fishing sector, and also the private sector. And really there is a need for the institution to train artisans that is well qualified, as we say, that is hardworking, that is honest, and that is humble in this sector. There's really the qualified artisans are dying out, and we are worried in Namibia, as NIMT also, that we have to cater for qualified, well-educated artisans all over Namibia.
Mr. Groenewald, just before I let you go, in terms of if we had to look at, you know, going ahead, the rest of the economic situation with regards to how artisans carry that economy, economy. I know you just answered now, Germany is a good example. The need in Namibia is that we need to provide the skilled, the qualified artisans, and also have that supply route from schools to give the right, if we can say learners, that can fit into the artisanal space. For that, if we want to expand and give the thriving, conducive environment for artisans, what can you perhaps give? And I'm asking you not to be a weatherman, just to give like a forecast. Mm. What kind of environment can we give artisans in this space?
Let me say, if we look at our current situation in Namibia, due to the economic situation, and that's why we want to emphasize and say we need to train our trainees properly, whose qualifications are accredited not only in Namibia but all over Namibia. We need to consult with the industry, the mining, the fishing, what are the shortcomings, you understand, what are the positives, you understand, and this is where we have to work closely with the industry in order to find out really what are the shortcomings, you understand, of our training, and also practical as well as theory. But here we want to encourage also parents to look deeply in taking their children and let them be tested by Ministry of Labor. And also the other thing is parents must be guided so that they can choose maths and science, because those two subjects are the ones that is required for technical and vocational artisan training in Namibia and even outside our borders. So.
And this is now Namra's representatives at their stall just indicating their role in terms of how the revenue agency plays its role in mining. Let's have a listen.
Hello, my name is Ndiri Mekeshe Longo, a Namra's representative at the Mining Expo. I work at the large taxpayers unit in Namra. Namra's role in the mining industry is, I can summarize it in this manner. Mining is one of the key contributors to Namibia's revenue. Namra's presence at the Mining Expo is key as a service provider between revenue collection and our stakeholders, which are the miners that are represented here today, as it is Namra's vision to positively impact livelihoods of every Namibian. As a revenue collector, the impact of revenue collection allows the state or government to provide services to...
Namra also stressed that mining is the biggest contributor to Namibia's GDP, and that it also earns the country the much-needed hard currencies through export of mineral products. Apart from the royalties that are paid to the Ministry of Mines and Energy, Namra adds that mining contributes to a lot to the fiscus in terms of different taxes, such as CIT, pay as you earn from the employees, VAT through consumption of various goods and services, and also that mining is a capital intensive business in terms where it also attributes to the other various functions where taxes can be collected from. Now, also on top of that, Namra indicated that if you had to look at the different rates, such as 55% for diamond mining, 37.5% for other mining, also indicates that mining is a highly taxed segment or sector of Namibia's economy. Now, for more on that, or before we reach into the rest of today's program here of the Business at 2, we could be stepping into a short break, and after the break, we'll come right back.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hello, Namibia.
Coming back from our extended break right there, we step into our second item for today's session of Business at 2. And we take a look at where Old Mutual did a handover earlier today at two different locations, indicating the corporate social responsibility towards the greater community of Windhoek. For that, let's have a listen to Madam Mavis Elia. Elias, in terms of what transpired earlier today. On the line, we've got Mavis Elias from Old Mutual in terms of two donation events that took place earlier today from Old Mutual. Madam Mavis, thank you for joining us on the line and welcome to this, to Business at 2 on this discussion. Just looking at these two donation events, Madam Mavis, what can you tell us and our listeners more about it and the impacts that these two donation events aim to have?
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on the work of Old Mutual. So just to give you a bit of a background, Old Mutual Namibia takes its social responsibility very seriously, and from the profits of Old Mutual, we donate 1% towards charity initiatives as well as community impact projects. Mm. So one such one that we did today is the Executive Discretionary Fund. This is where we give our executives an opportunity to be able to choose from the community which projects they believe require work from Old Mutual. In addition to that, we have what we call a staff builder fund, which allows Old Mutual employees to be able to choose societal activities that are happening within their immediate surroundings that might require input as well as impact from Old Mutual. So today we went to go and go do a handover for two of such projects. Mm. The first one was done by our executive, Gail. And she went to go and go do a handover at what they call the Sister Clinic Program. This is basically a mobile clinic that situates itself in the informal areas of Windhoek, just because a lot of the medical needs that are in those vicinities are often overlooked just because there isn't access to infrastructure. Mm. So they have a mobile clinic in that area. It's actually at USAVE. And the community members are able to come and get to the medical attention needs and so forth catered to. So that was our first donation. The second one we did in a community in Koreakapdam. And this is where you find that the areas are so remote, there's no access to electricity. Mm. And so many of their needs are actually catered to through wood, because they either have to build a fire to be able to make themselves dinner, etc. Mm. So this donation is actually given to a group of women who are going to sell wood in this to be able to sort of upskill themselves as entrepreneurs to be able to have a sustainable sustainable income, because it's one thing to impact the community. It's another thing to do so sustainably so that there is sustenance in what it is we assist them with. So looking at a group of entrepreneurs means you give them, you know, something to be able to start up a business and be able to get this going. But they're already in operation. If anything, we only just injected more capital within their business so that they're able to upscale and are able to cater to the high demand of wood that they have within their community. And those are the two projects that we actually did work on today.
And then, Madam Mavis, if we had to look at the, you know, at the continued work in terms of a corporate like Old Mutual getting involved with the needy communities, even in a city like Windhoek, how important is it to provide assistance and support, especially from a corporate entity like Old Mutual itself, to the needy?
Yes, I think it's very important. I think the environment in which we operate, we owe it to the environment in that we as a responsible business have to ensure that we definitely give back to the community in which we operate. And I think we do that, as I mentioned earlier, by making sure that some of our profits are actually channeled back into the community in which some of these funds are actually coming from, and as far as our profits are concerned. So as Old Mutual, all year around, we have a variety of projects that we impart and implement within the community to be able to see sustainable impact. And when I oftentimes use the word sustainable, because it's not just about sort of giving and, you know, because they say that you can take the horse to the water, but you need to have a situation which to teach the person either how to fish or etc.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, to be able to come back to your question, which is how important is it? I think many a times we definitely have to be able to look around us and see what we can do in as far as our immediate surroundings and community. And I think the way that we at Old Mutual do that is by being able to give the power back to our staff members so that they can tell us where they think the need is, because they live within these communities. And in addition to that, also give that very power to our executives, who can then choose projects that are close to their heart. But not only that, but also impact the larger community.
And Madam Mavis, before I let you go, in terms of just looking towards the rest of the calendar year, what can we look forward to? What else will Old Mutual get involved in for the rest of this year? Just almost like a teaser scenario.
So at the moment, we are going to shortly announce who our top five candidates are that have been chosen for the Neighborhood Watch grant, because we also impact neighborhood watches. We also have more discretionary fund projects that are going to be funded for the rest of the year. In addition to that, we have 9 more projects that we're going to do handovers for through the staff builder fund. So there's definitely lots and lots that's still yet to come in as far as just doing handovers, but the selection process, much of it is done at this juncture. It's just a question of actually getting out into the community and giving over the items that we are going to be donating.
Exactly.
Thank you for the question.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Mavis. Madam Mavis, anything you still want to add before I let you go?
I think I'd just like to thank you very much for highlighting the work that Old Mutual is doing and just giving us an opportunity to you know, speak to the community members who benefit from some of our initiatives. And just sometimes, you know, you live in a neighborhood, perhaps such as a Kleinekoop neighborhood, and you've got a neighborhood watch around you. And sometimes just to be cognizant that sometimes the funding that the neighborhood watches, for example, work with actually comes from Old Mutual. So the impact is everywhere. It's just sometimes we don't know always where the funds come from, but we do want to assure the public at large that we're definitely doing our part as a responsible business, because we do great things every day.
The private sector credit extension latest for July of 2022 indicated that credit extended to the private sector, which includes everyone from households as well as also to businesses, grew by 4% year on year in the month of July alone. Now, this is in comparison to the 3.4% year on year in June of this year as well. Now, also note that net household debt increased by 2.1% year on year in July as well, compared to the 2% in June alone. This is also where net corporate debt had increased from 6.5% in July to in comparison to the 5.3% debt in June for 2022. Now, corporate credit growth was supported by higher demand from businesses in the transport, mining, health and services sectors, according to the Bank of Namibia. Now, year to date, 2022 has recorded the worst annual growth rates in household credit, whereas 2022 has been better than recent years for corporate credit. Improved credit growth in 2022 stems mainly from corporate credit growth. Year-to-date credit extension averages 3.3% compared to the 2.4% in 2021. Now, disaggregating the data, analysts have said that they saw household credit growth was mainly driven by other loans and advances, an increase which culminated in an increase of 7.9% in July alone. Mortgages had increased by 1.9%, which collectively accounted for at least 86% of household credit growth. Accounting for at least 46% of corporate credit growth, other loans and advances, which saw an increase at least of 15.7% in the month of July, as well as also installment and leasings at almost 15%, were the main drivers of growth in the corporate credit aspect. Overdrafts for both households, which went down by almost 11%, and for corporates alike, which also went down by 6.1%, continued on a declining trend. Now, analysts have noted that last month indicated that private sector, that being the month of July, that private sector credit growth had trended above the GDP growth over the last 16 years. Analysts have indicated that they show that what they saw is that a gross fixed capital formation, a GFCF, which measures net investment in the economy, has been trending above the annual GDP growth since 2012, based on the latest data from the national accounts for 2021. However, the total net investment only accounted for at least 14.3% of GDP in 2021. During 2021, net investment was focused on the mining industry, financial services, manufacturing, service providers of government, and also the agricultural sectors. All these sectors mentioned respectively recorded for mining a 32.3% in terms of its net investment. For financial services, 17.6%. For manufacturing, 15.9%. Service providers of government at 14.4%, and for agriculture, almost at 8%. On top of this, most of the net investments in 2021 were spent on machinery and equipment, which was indicated by 34.7% of this, buildings at 24.5%, and construction works at a flat 18%. Now, excess credit growth above GDP growth indicates that most loans were used for consumption purposes. Excess GFCF growth above GDP growth could potentially indicate that an inefficient allocation of resources has largely been taking place. Now, the analysts also add that this is due to net investment not translating into higher economic growth rates over the last 10 years, and that the GFCF averaged annual growth of 20.4%, but that GDP only averaged at 7.4% between 2011 and 2021. Household and corporates, debt stock as a percentage of the GDP currently constitutes at least 34.4% and 25.4% respectively, based on the latest 2021 national account data. Now, that is used for the reason as 2022 is not complete as yet, and the average for the year cannot yet be calculated. Now, analysts have combined households, corporates, and foreigners who live in Namibia and have outstanding debt with Namibia's local banks, indicates that total private sector debt is almost at 60% of GDP. This compares marginally lower than the almost 70% for total domestic and foreign government debt as a percentage of GDP. Households also face a challenging environment as expensive living costs combined with tighter monitoring policy during 2022 adds to budgetary pressures. Now, economic analysts expect another 100 basis point hike in the repo rate before the end of 2022, which would lift the prime rate from 9.25% to 10.25%. Rising interest rates will likely weigh on demand for credit, more so for households than corporates, as the analysts have forecasted in recent months, and also that they expect average monthly credit growth of 2.9% for 2022. But currently, the 3.6% looks more likely, especially given the fourth quarter of this year will be coming off a low base, where credit growth averaged only at 1.9% in the fourth quarter of 2021 last year. And as we always do daily here on the Business at 2 segment, we ended off with some economic indicators, as well as also taking a look at some of the commodity price moves and also the currency, the exchange rate currencies, in terms of your daily dose of the Business at 2. Starting off with the Namibian, in the Namibian realm, or here locally, the Namibian economy expanded by 2.7% in 2021 compared to the preliminary expansion of 2.4%. And that's according to the latest national accounts information that was released earlier this week. The expansion was primarily supported by the growth in primary and tertiary sectors, for primary representing at least 6.2%. and tertiary representing at least 1.9% in terms of this growth. The secondary sector recorded a single-digit contraction when going down by 3.3%, as opposed to the double-digit contractions in prior years. Total private consumption constituted at least 75% of GDP in 2021, making this a crucial component of economic growth in Namibia. Now, consumption spending mainly took place in the food, housing, and education sectors of last year, 2021. Given the rise in inflationary pressures experienced in this year of 2022 for numerous reasons, and also tighter monetary policy, for example, higher interest rates, many analysts remain concerned that consumption spending will be under pressure and will weigh on 2022's economic growth outcome. For now, Namibia maintains is steadily on the path of meeting some of the economic analysts' GDP growth forecasts. In the Namibia Stock Exchange overall, and also NSX local performances for their trading sessions, the NSX overall ended on a negative 1.45 in terms of its last trading session. For the NSX local, they recorded a positive 0.01% move in terms of that session. Heading into the Johannesburg Stock Exchange All Share, which ended on a down in terms of a negative recording a negative 0.95% in its day's trading, while the JSE Top 40 was lower on a negative 0.96%. Now, the industrials sector was also down by minus 0.19%, the financials also down by minus 5.38%, resources were lower, almost achieving a minus 1% move in terms of their performance, with the gold miners being the only one of the platforms recording a positive move with a positive 0.68% for its trading session. Heading into the rest of the world, where earlier today the Shanghai Composite had gained a positive 0.24%, the Hang Seng had fallen by a negative 1.52%, and the Nikkei 225 fell by a negative 1.64%. In the US, the Dow Jones fell by a negative 0.88%. The NASDAQ fell also by a minus 0.56%, while the S&P 500 had lost a minus 0.70% in terms of their day's trading. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 for the European platform was down by minus 1.12%, while the German DAX was down by minus 0.97%, and the French CAC 40 was lower at negative 1.37. This culminated at least with 30.49 billion euros of trading having taken place on the Stoxx 600. In the FTSE 100 for the UK, it concluded its session ending down by a negative 1.05%, with at least a total of £5.42 billion being traded on that platform. In the commodities and also the currency exchange pricings, or the latest on this, we start off with the commodities, with spot gold having registered a negative 0.41% for its session. indicating also once again it performing in the negative. For platinum, it also recorded a negative with a minus 0.22% in its day's trading. But palladium also maintained a positive note with it just indicating not much moves, however, recording a 0% move. Silver also recorded a negative in terms of its day's trading with a negative 1.76% for its session, but uranium recorded a massive positive 2.62% for its session. Brent crude was down on minus 0.32%, with iron ore being the biggest loser with a negative 3.15% in terms of its session. For copper, it went down by almost half a percentage point with a minus 0.58%. Natural gas saw a positive move in its regard with a positive 0.07% for its session. Rhodium spot also recorded no move in terms of its day's trading, just registering a solid flat 0% performance. For the currency exchange rates and the latest on this, in terms of measuring up the Namibian dollar with the major currencies in the world, one US dollar will get you 17.21 Namibian dollars, one euro will get you 17.22 Namibian dollars, one British pound will get you 19.9 Namibian dollars, while one Chinese yuan will get you 2.49 Namibian dollars. The USD up against the euro, as well as also the Namibian dollar up against the Russian ruble and also the Japanese yen, are some of the latest currency moves, with the Namibian dollar at least or one ruble will at least get you 28 Namibian cents, and one Japanese yen will get you 12 Namibian cents. For the US dollar against the euro and the British pound, 1 euro will get you 1 USD, 1 British pound will get you $1.15 in the US denomination. And on that note, it brings us to the end of today's session of the Business at 2 segment. Catch us again in the Friday session tomorrow.